But do you see any hot topics from business perspective, especially what are they talking? Because this is what we are talking as privacy pros, saying these are the backdoors, these are the vulnerabilities, but what are they talking?
Well, I think a lot of it starts with definition. So, hot topic for sure is healthcare and health data and what is defined as health data. And many times, data that was considered generic 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, now can be classified as sensitive, protected health data. That's a big change. When you look at not just HIPAA accountabilities and California's CMIA around protection for medical data, which we've grown used to. But now you've got an expansion, not just beyond those companies that are business associates and those that are not in the healthcare traditionally defined space. So you look at FTC rulemaking around the health breach notification rule and how that has led to enforcement actions against companies and redefining, again, kind of back to this idea of what's in websites, what's in apps, wellness data, fitness, diet, sleep, even fertility, all of these things, right, that may not have been strictly health data, now are falling into that. And sharing that information for internet advertising or through objects can be a breach. So that's a real new thing to get your head around. And then the Office of Civil Rights in the US, the federal level there, that collecting information on apps is considered personal health information for HIPAA-covered entities. So those are kind of causing a snowball effect of a growing definition of what falls into health data. And then it then comes along My Health, My Data in Washington State, which is where I'm based in Seattle, which even expands beyond the definitions that we've talked about so far, what's considered as health data. And there's a private right of action with that law. So there's more and more risks for companies in trying to figure out what is health data. And then once you know what it is, how do you protect yourself against demand letters from anyone who can find one error wrong? And there's been a rash of pixel lawsuits. So that is, I think, what I would say is one area that's a hot topic. I think another hot topic is children's data. And that's a perennial hot topic because the internet in various ways has been damaging to children. But one is literally the laws in the US are raising the bar on what is a child in the US, right? COPPA was protecting data for people under kids under 13. CCPA raised that bar to 16. COSA, which is being considered in Congress, raises that to 17. And then CADCA, which was ruled, I think, invalid by a California judge, that was raising the age to 18. So there's this progression of what's considered health data, or sorry, what's considered children's data by various states and federal laws. So that's another hot topic. A third one I would say is video. And mostly because of lawsuits and associations of sharing video data as a violation under the VPPA, the Video Privacy Protection Act from the 80s. And that becomes a court interpretation. The lawsuits are trying to categorize prosaic companies as videotape service providers, which is stretching a little bit the definition of the way that law was originally in created. It was created to protect people from what a video rental store might do for you. But the class actions and lawsuits of various kinds are stretching that to mean anybody who's hosting data on a website. So that combination of clever legal theories and the proliferation of pixels and cookies and tags and scripts and beacons that are often ungoverned on websites make video even a hot topic.
But where are we headed with all these laws and everyone defining different age for children, different rules, rather than, in fact, even if you look at consent, it's defined differently in the GDPR and then in some Asian countries, it's very different. So where are we headed and how will we solve that problem?
Yeah, it's heading to proliferation, both in what you just describe, how consent and notice even are defined in various jurisdictions, but then the technical means of enabling that consent. So I kind of think of it as messaging, right? When messaging began, you had email, and then you had text, and then you started to get proliferation like instant messaging and Slack and Teams and more and more methods of reaching. So there's no single way to message anymore. You got WhatsApp, you have individual apps that enable encrypted messaging. So the channels of messaging proliferated to that the point it becomes very, very hard to manage. The same thing is happening around consent. There once was a way of expressing consent, which was a cookie banner where you'd reject cookies and under GDPR. And that's given way to preference centers and global privacy control. And as I said a moment ago, the UMS, the universal opt-out mechanisms or the opt-out preference signals, there's going to be companies that are going to create their own channels. Consumer Reports has the permission slip, which is they're acting as an agent for consumers to enable opt-outs. More companies are going to do that. So that proliferation combined with the regulatory proliferation means it's going to be a lot more complex to even know the channels that you need to honor when people are wishing to opt out. And that's a technology problem that will take, I believe, technology to fix.
No, that'll certainly take time. But what can companies do in face of these vulnerabilities? Of course, they can buy your product and we'll talk about that later. But what can they do specifically? How can they manage this backdoor entry?
I think it starts with a data assessment combined with a legal assessment and then culminating with a trade-off assessment. There's three kind of series of assessments that need to be done continuously or periodically. The data assessment, for people that are more privacy pros might recognize what I'm about to say is contained as part of data protection impact assessments. But first is the who, right? The kind of data that you have, an inventory of data and a knowledge of data flows. Have you mapped out how PI is stored across different databases? Inventory of the places that you are storing, particularly if it's protected health information or other sensitive data, recognizing that data sprawl is bound to happen. There's all kinds of internal databases. Then the data flow, which is the transmission of data through systems throughout the full data lifecycle, understanding that. Inventory and flow would be a really important first step when I talk about data assessment. And then beyond that, with whom are you sharing outside your enterprise, outside your four walls? That's part of the data assessment too. What kind of content, what kind of browsing data, what kind of other form data gets synced with your partners? And that's, you know, once you get a good sense of the inventory, the data flow, then a legal assessment, right? Taking the vendors that you've discovered in the data flow review I just mentioned, do you have contracts, the proper contracts in place? Are you performing due diligence? And are you staying up to date on the rules that change that apply to what I'm describing? So that all of that is part of the legal review. And probably the real front page of the culmination of that is going to be in your privacy policy, your privacy notice. Is that up to date? Privacy policies need to include a date in the US of when they were most recently updated. And that date can give a good indication if companies are staying current. And then the last step, this trade-off assessment, is you look at the data you have, the inventory, the flows, the legal risks that of that. What is the business value of the data sharing you're doing? The collection, the mechanisms that you're doing, the technologies you're using to collect data, but then also with whom you're sharing that. And is that really required? Must you collect data to achieve your business outcomes? If you must collect certain types of data, do you need to collect all the fields of data? Do you need to collect all the fields of data on every web page or every interaction on your app or only certain aspects? So limiting the entry points at which data is collected, I think is a really important part of the trade-off assessment. Always look for less intrusive methods of gathering information. And also when you do all of this, because it's an ongoing responsibility, ensure you've got approval process. This is where our clients often come to us for help, because in distributed organizations, in global organizations, in organizations that are using outsourced vendors of various types, decisions about what can be added to an app, added to a website, is sometimes far afield. It's distributed. It's not centralized. So having approval processes before new pixels are added to pages or new trackers or tags are added to pages, and having a process around the due diligence that you're going to do, I think all of this fits into what I would call this third step, which is the trade-off assessment.
Makes sense. I think you summarized it really well. And when you say having an approval process, I cannot agree more because I was working with a client a few months ago and they changed their brand name. They introduced the word AI into it. They didn't inform the privacy person. They didn't inform the legal person. They just changed the brand. It's just a brand change.
But it's much more.
It's much more. The moment you introduce the notion of AI in your brand name, the way people look at you, the way people perceive your company, the way people will read your privacy notice, the way people will read your terms and conditions would be with a suspicion, with a magnifying glass. And you need to address that. You need to look at how you process your personal data or even normal data in a very, very different way. And you need to be mitigating that from the start. But yes, companies don't pay attention. And of course, you summarize that, do a data assessment, look at where is data transferring, do due diligence and everything. That's perfectly said. Basically, you said comply with GDPR, in essence.
In a sense, but I love that example of just changing the brand and adding AI opens up a Pandora's box.
If you like this, find the full episode of Fit for Privacy podcast on iTunes or Spotify.